The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, so as you can see, everything has kind of changed a little bit. A little more decoration, a little more festivity as we get excited for the coming of our Savior and his birth on Christmas Day. So we're pretty excited about that. I'm pretty thrilled about remembering that day. But today's a little different. Some days are a little changes. So today is still the same. We're still going to be listening and reflecting on the hymns as we go through it, listening to the words, and hopefully that'll be a nice time of meditation for you. Gary is helping with French horn again to bring a little variety, so that's awesome. Another thing, in your bulletin, you'll notice an insert I put in there. Sandra Ewalt wrote a nice little thank you card to all of us. And I wanted to get it out to you guys so you can see it. And a very nice thank you. She's doing really well. Given the situation and things are going good, her prayers are being heard, her prayers are being heard, so give thanks for that. I don't think I have anything else right now, but we'll begin with the listening of our first hymn on our first page. God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak the psalm together, whole verse by whole verse. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Abraham and Benjamin and Manasseh.
Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God,
Let your face shine, and then you may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have had them in the bread of their tears, and you give them tears to drink and hold their hand.
You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent comes from Isaiah chapter 64. Again, the first verse. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen God beside you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who was unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf in our iniquities, like the wind may take us. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. We speak the Alleluias together.
Alleluia.
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 The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord has needed it, and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, What are you doing, untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue with the hymn, Savior of the Nations Come. In the name of Jesus, amen. As you walked in today, you probably noticed as you walked through that things were a little different. Something caught your eye and noticed the Christmas tree or maybe even the nativity set up there or some of the poinsettias and the banners and things. We're getting pretty excited for the Advent season, especially Christmas around the corner, even with all the changes. But you noticed that. Have you ever been doing something you regularly do, a normal task, and something just catches your eye? You're coming to church, and something new catches your eye.
Whether you're on your way running errands or doing a normal activity. I know something as simple as working on my car, I'm just changing the oil and going through the motions, and then something just catches my eye. Either battery acid just on the battery there and have to clean more of that up, or something's loose and needs to be refastened or retightened. Just a simple fix. But sometimes, though, you're caught up in the bigger problem. You're going to the doctor for a routine checkup, and not a care in the world. It's just one of those things you need to do today and among all the other errands you have going on. But then the doctor notices something serious, and all those other errands, all those other things going on are quickly forgotten. Because now you're focused in on the problem that just popped up. Our focus, or our attention, or our eye is constantly being redirected or caught by different changes. Sure, there are things that do distract us, and I'm sure media and all those social things are a constant perpetrator. But what I'm talking about are those moments when you're focused in or have your eyes set on a certain goal, and then something or someone catches your eye, and then your focus is drawn somewhere else. The goal shifts somehow, and there's a new reality you have to walk down, a new reality you realize that's before you, a new set of things that need to be done than what you previously thought. Your whole perspective is just changed. Well, I believe that's what's going on in our text today. At least that's what the gospel lesson kind of does to us. The text for today directs our focus and attention somewhere else than what we might have expected. We're entering the Advent season. We're in the preparation for the coming King, the return of Christ, to prepare and remember the day when Jesus is born. Advent is that preparation for Christ, the season of waiting, of hoping, of all the joy and love and peace. But our reading from Mark directs our eyes to Palm Sunday. For the story we hear is about the Palm Sunday. It's something we celebrate later on, next year, on Holy Week. And in this story, Jesus is set for Jerusalem. Because you see, Jesus already has been around, has been doing his ministry. He's transfigured before his disciples. He's been on the mountain. He's predicted his death on three different occasions. And now we are entering the first day of Holy Week, at the beginning of Advent. But Jesus' eyes in the story are set on Jerusalem. And he's focused in. And here in Mark, Jesus takes a needed detour to enter Jerusalem properly. The beginning is a bit strange, especially for Mark, because as if you've read him or have gone through him, he uses the word immediately a lot, so he's not too concerned about the details. But here Mark stops for a moment as Jesus and company draw near to the city of Jerusalem. And before they go in, he requests of his disciples to go get a colt that he might ride on as he enters. And so he gives them instruction as to where they'll find the colt and what they're to say if they are asked about why they're taking the colt. And so the disciples go and fulfill their role. They are stopped on the way, as if Jesus knew, and are asked why they are taking the colt, and they tell the people standing there what Jesus said. The Lord has need of it. And so the colt is brought to Jesus, and he sits on the colt to go into the city. And the crowds then gathered and cheered, laying down branches and cloaks. Jesus enters Jerusalem with a kingly welcome. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our father David, the king that they know. Hosanna in the highest. The people are pretty ecstatic. And they're thrilled that the king, that this promised Messiah has arrived. The scriptures are being fulfilled in Christ's arrival. The son of David riding in on a colt, the chosen son of man to arrive and take his place as king and ruler of Israel. I suspect that the significance of those Old Testament texts are not missed. That the king himself will take back what belongs to him. That he'll take back Israel. The messianic king will take back what belongs, and the Israelites seem to think it'll be in strength and power. Just like David. But that's not what Jesus has in mind, as you know. When he enters in on the colt, his focus is elsewhere. His attention is toward a different means, by different means to get there. His throne is something else. His strength lies somewhere else. It's hard to say what exactly the people were thinking or what they were looking for when Jesus arrived. But it's rather obvious what they were not anticipating. I doubt any of them thought that Jesus would be dead by the end of the week. Because they had something else in mind. They were focused on a different result. They were focused on a different reality and expectation altogether. The people were looking for a king to overthrow the Roman government, the Roman authorities that had enslaved them, the people of Israel. And perhaps they were looking for the chosen Messiah to exchange that colt for a chariot. And instead, they were caught off guard and saw something completely different by the end. They noticed something that wasn't what they expected. Jesus turns from a welcomed king arriving into his city to a criminal sentenced to death. And it's no wonder that they forgot everything that preceded, because they were focused on something else completely. They were caught up in a different reality. And so what are you focused in on? What are you looking for? We are in Advent, and we're directed to receive the coming Savior to return in his birth and remember it on Christmas Day. You're focused on the King as we end our time of thankfulness. Or are there other things probably grabbing your attention? It's hard not to be drawn away or focused on other things. Because over here, there's something important going on. When you have bills to pay, when you have groceries to buy, when you have deadlines to achieve or to make ends meet, when you have family or friends to keep in touch with, and all those worries that are on your horizon. But then they all seem to fall apart when your eye is caught by something else. When a spouse is taken to the hospital, or a sudden death in the family, or someone close to you is affected by a virus. Your focus is now shaped by what has just happened. And all those other worries and all those other responsibilities you need to deal with, they don't become as important anymore. Because your focus is diverted to the thing that is most important. Not only with your energy or your effort, but with your resources and your finances, all your attention are focused on the thing that matters. That one more important thing. Because everything else that matters doesn't matter as much as what matters now, here, and what matters most. And your anticipations change. And you enter a new reality of life, a new perspective. And so what is catching your eye today? Are you looking for a sense of security and safety in a broken and messy world? Perhaps you're wrapped up in the spread of information provided by various and all kinds of people, maybe becoming an expert in areas that you're not even called to be responsible for. Maybe you're looking for a political savior who will enact a rule and reign that meets your expectation and sets right by your standards. Or perhaps you're focused on just surviving a pretty dreadful season. You want to be able to celebrate the holiday season and joy in the way you once knew. But now you're just hoping just to get by unscathed. Why do these important things overwhelm our focus and our attention? I know why they grab my attention. Because ultimately, I'm afraid. I fear the outcome. I fear what will happen next. Because I need assurance for tomorrow. You see, what steals our attention and changes our focus, they're not inherently bad things to be concerned about. You should be concerned about your spouse. You should be concerned about your health, getting the facts straight, or protecting your family. But truthfully, those things that we give our attention to only have our focus because behind them stands what really matters to us, our own fears. And those are what we're truly focused on. We're looking past what matters and seeing what we really want our fears to be overcome. We look through them to the fear and doubt that plagues our own heart. Jesus had his eyes set for Jerusalem, but he didn't have his eyes set for a great welcome, for people's praises, for a triumphant and royal entry. Jesus' eyes were set on one thing, and he was marching towards the cross. The Son of God himself even looked toward the goal of the cross in fear. For he prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." But his fear was not the same as your fear. For he spoke, "Yet not I will, but what you will." And all that he focused on and all that he had in front of him prepared came to pass. He was rejected by his own people, arrested there in Gethsemane, tried before Pilate and the priests. He was condemned to die as a criminal and crucified on the cross. That was his goal. That was his focus and attention. His throne, a splintering cross and suffering. And it was there that he died. The same people shouting, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." Those same people and even the disciples never anticipated this was the focus and goal for the Messiah. They never knew that Christ was headed towards this end. But this is exactly what overwhelmed Jesus Christ's attention. To be led to the most profane and ugliest sights. But it is here at the cross in which the strength and power of God is revealed. For at the cross, it's where God chose to reveal his love, his mercy, and his beauty. For while the cross was the focus for Jesus Christ, the cross was his end goal, to go through suffering. But it wasn't the cross for the cross' sake that Jesus was going towards it. For it was through the cross Jesus Christ's attention was not placed in the fear beyond it. It wasn't the fear that lied behind the cross, but it was the love he had that went on beyond. For it was the means of suffering and death, the most perverted and ugly thing of all creation, that you were his focus. And it received all his attention. to answer the cries of Hosanna to save you. That's what the goal was for him. In the resurrection, he now delivers the promise of salvation, the promise of the cross to you so that you could be his and he could be yours. You overwhelm his focus and attention, and the path of the cross was all with you in mind. He did not choose to save in the most glorious way. He did not come in riding in a chariot and wielding a sword to save his creation and rule his world. Instead, he came in a lowly way, on a colt entering into Jerusalem, in a manger lying in a stable, and going to the cross. It's in the lowliest and unforeseen, unexpected ways that Christ retakes what belongs to him. And I don't know what cross you have to bear this day, or what you've been bearing over the last weeks and months. I don't know what's grabbing your attention or seeking to steal you away. But I do know what lies beyond the cross. And it lies beyond in your life too. It's not fear. You see, the cross you are focused on, or the things that you steal your attention, are now placed in their proper place. Because they no longer cause you the same level of fear, worry, and anxiety that you believe they place on you. Jesus Christ has taken on those pains and sufferings and death with them on the cross for you, so that he could have you. And now something else catches your eye. For behind those things that take up your attention lies where your focus belongs. Focusing through the crosses in your life is but a test to your faith in Jesus Christ. He is where your assurance, your peace, your hope, and all your joy lie. For Jesus Christ is the focus, and he is the one who takes up the sins and suffering that you and I go through, and he places them on himself. The fear that seems to overwhelm your life is taken by Christ himself, so that you're no longer controlled or dictated by the fear. But instead, your trust is placed in the one who rules over all creation and takes care of it. Through the cross, you are focused on what really matters, on what Christ has given you. And that's life in his name, his love and his mercy for you. That's a newer reality that you are a part of. It's a new perspective that gives meaning and opens up your life to you. Maybe it's not what you expected. The love that he shows is not what you anticipated. It's often not the way we would like him to show or reveal himself. But he does show you and tell you that he is in control and that he has taken care of you. He has those pains and sufferings dealt with, and he will handle them in the way that he sees fit. Continue to trust that God has you safely in his arms from all that might distract us or steal our attention. If you look at the beginning of our text one more time, Mark is not a gospel writer who typically puts in a lot of details. He seems to try to rush to the important parts. But there are moments where he slows down and there are causes to pause. Before going into the city, Jesus has his disciples go and grab a colt. And you see Jesus call two of his disciples. Jesus tells them where to go, what to do, and what to say if someone asks, "Why are you doing this?" The disciples do as he says and encounter exactly what Jesus Christ told them. Jesus runs the show. He's the one that's in control. Jesus Christ has called you, and he has told you where to go and what to do. He's called you here into his church through unexpected means like water and a morsel of bread and wine. He's told you where to go by placing you where you are. And he's told you what to do by giving you the relationships and responsibilities that are right here in front of you. And he's told you what to say when someone asks, "Why are you doing this?" Your response? The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of you. Not for anything of himself, but what the creation needs from you and what your neighbor needs from you. They're right in front of you. Let them catch your eye. Love and care for them. For the crucified Christ loves and cares for them. He is preparing a place for you and all who are called to him. And a kingdom that has no end. A kingdom that will exceed all our expectations. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the hymn found in your bulletin. As you are able, please stand. We continue with the prayers of the church found on page 5, beginning at page 5 of your bulletin. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls, and in you we put our trust. Do not let us be ashamed of our hope, but come quickly. Sustain us by your Holy Spirit, that we may have joy at the advent of Christ our Savior. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, enrich your saints in every way as we enter another church year. Encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear that the testimony about Christ may be confirmed again among us. Give boldness and faithfulness to Matthew, our Synod President, Paul, our District President, Brad, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ. As you have called us into the fellowship of your Son, so sustain us as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and serve their children, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in faith. Merciful God,
Hear our prayer.
Almighty Creator, be with the governing authorities and enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for Donald, our President, Jay, our Governor, our military and police, and other civil servants, as well as all newly elected officials. Increase the spirit of unity and cooperation among the people of our land and the nations of the world. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, as your Son washed and your company into Jerusalem, to the cries of Hosanna, so send him to us, according to his promise, pray and pray for the forgiveness of our sins. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, behold in mercy all who are in any danger, trouble, sickness, or need. Hear our prayers for the sick and suffering, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flath, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Emily. Give health to our world and bring the pandemic to an end. Comfort all who mourn, all who are struggling, and those who are alone. We especially pray for our homebound, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza, and Jim, and Alex. Assure them of your promises in Jesus Christ, that you are always with them. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Blessed Creator, we ask for a giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill your mission and spread the gospel to every place. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, open up doors and opportunities for your people to extend the gospel message to the people in our community. Give us ears to listen to people's hurts and courage to say what needs to be said according to your word. Let our lives be a witness to Jesus Christ and the transformed life we live. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for the revealing of your Son, Jesus Christ, as light and life, that we may continue to receive your word and guidance for our lives. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue with the Nunc Dimittis, and we speak it together.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We continue with our last hymn. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Good morning. I want to direct your attention to page 9 of our